Yo ho ho, welcome aboard. It is the MMA Podcast 212, September 28th, 2017. Joined as always by Sweet Pappy Jones. Pat, what's going on, brother?
Oh, Big Jake, it is a thankful Thursday out here in Southern California. Thankful it's such a beautiful day, and thankful I get to do another episode of the MMA Podcast with you. We had some great action this past weekend, and some good news to talk about for today's episode. So stoked as always to be back with you.
Yeah, a little bit to talk about. This won't be our longest episode. This should actually be a relatively short episode. Had a couple cards this past weekend to talk about. Had a bunch of fight announcements in the last 24 hours. But it's going to be a very silent weekend, this upcoming weekend, the last weekend of September. We have no UFC, no Bellator, no ONE FC, no Invicta, no World Series of Fighting or Professional Fighting League, whatever it's called now. Really, there's not anything going on combat sports-wise, so we're not going to be previewing anything other than, luckily, all these fight announcements we got going here. But, yeah, I guess we didn't really have any boxing spectacles. It's been fun talking boxing the last month. We had May Mack. We had Canelo versus GGG, even though I don't know how satisfied I am after those. One was kind of a freak show, and the other one was very unsatisfying as far as the ending went. But had a couple of fun UFC fight cards, or not UFC fight cards, one UFC, one Bellator. The first one was the UFC card, though. Went down last Friday. Saturday afternoon, for those in attendance at the Sadayama Super Arena in Japan. Friday night for all of us in the U.S. Was actually a fun card. There wasn't much going on for me on Friday night other than studying and doing other various boring things. So I had the fights on in the background, started to pay more attention when the main card kicked off. And there were a lot of fun finishes. Husier Formiga getting the first round rear naked choke in. Gokhan Saki looking very impressive. Dong Young Kim TKOing Dong Young Kim 2, that is, not the stun gun. The lightweight Dong Young Kim, stunning Takanori Gomi and Jessica Andrade. This kind of was the news of the night. We'll save the main event for its own topic there, but Jessica Andrade was a pretty big underdog to Claudia Gadelha. Claudia had basically made her mark as the number two fighter at women's strawweight and done so very dominantly. She's fought, you know, a lot of contenders who have fought Joanna, including Carolina Kowalkiewicz, Jessica Aguilar, and really all of her losses had only come to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She gets her third loss here against Jessica Andrade, and isn't you're so much of a clear-cut number two at that weight class anymore. Now, I guess Jessica Andrade is the new number two. But unfortunately, kind of like Claudia, she also does have a recent loss to the champion, Joanna, back UFC 211 just earlier this year. Jessica Andrade lost to the champ. So she will have to be looking for another fight or two before she wants to get another crack in the belt. But yeah, that was very surprising seeing Gadelha not just lose, but the judges' scorecard was 30-25, 30-26, 30-27. This was a one-sided fight. What did you think of this one, Pat? This card, not
well,
the
it's
fight, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, you know, it was a good card. The fight pass portion of the prelims started off relatively slow. There were some good fights, but the FXX prelims whole card was on FXX. Did set my TVR to it successfully. fortunately, I think the promo paid off enough with the emphasis there. But, yeah, I think I passed out during the prelims. I'm going to have to go back and replay those. Bunch of decisions. I know I got through Daichi Abe versus Hung Yu Lim. That was a solid scrap. I'm pretty sure I got through most of it, but I don't know. It was just pretty foggy. Husie Formiga versus Olga Sasaki, though, that was fantastic. Formiga came out and got his specialty. I mean, the rear naked choke, that's what he's been known for. Got it in the first round. Ishihara versus D, that was a solid scrap. Saki versus Silva, that was a very good showing for Saki, getting the knockout.
Big UFC debut there.
Big debut, now 1-1 in MMA. Man, it'll be great to see where he goes from here. Definitely a lot of potential from the Turkish Tyson. It's like one of the things Ron Burgundy would say when warming up. Potential from the Turkish Tyson. But no, sorry, I digress. DHK2 getting the TK over Takanori Gomi. I felt bad. I wanted Gomi to get that one, but I think it's pretty clear, and it has been clear for a while now, that Gomi should probably hang it up. He's been in the game for like 20 years now. I was hoping to see him get that victory inside Thomas Hooper Arena, but man, young DHK2, he just came through, and very solid TKO. And yeah, Gadea over Andrade, or I'm sorry, Andrade over Gadea, rather, is such a such a big upset, but I was not surprised really whatsoever. I had a good feeling about Andrade. I mean, technically, Gadelha does seem a little bit sharper in all areas, but Andrade, what she'd shown in that fight was just, you know, she used to fight at 135 pounds, coming down, being able to make straw weight, and, you know, still looking very good, super, you know, super solid at 115 pounds, and she just muscled Gadelha throughout the three rounds, really just bullied her, and it was a great fight, super, I mean, it was not without Gadelha getting in some licks of her own. I mean, these girls were both a bloody mess by the end of round one, but Andrade really was able to impose her will, control where the fight goes. Gadelha wasn't able to really get the takedowns going, and Andrade was slamming Gadelha with emphasis, getting some great ground and pound. Gadelha seemed to have a little more in the stand-up, but Andrade, she had the power. She got it done. She got it done in a big way. It was a fantastic co-main.
Yeah, muscled is a good word to use to describe how Jessica Andrade won that fight. Just grabbed hold of her and took her down, dragged her around the cage, won the unanimous decision. And speaking of just out-muscling your opponent, the main event, OSP versus Yushin Okami. A lot of people were thinking, you know, well, you know, Yushin is the black belt in judo, has a lot of experience. But, I mean, come on, this was a fight where OSP was just the bigger, stronger guy. And Yushin Okami was getting bagged on mercilessly by the post-fight crew for getting Von Flew choked, knowing that that's OSP's specialty. But it was sort of a weird takedown, awkward position. OSP obviously really knows how to lock in this Von Flew choke very, very expertly. And that's exactly what he did. Went in there and got the victory on the main event against it, a fight that was originally supposed to be OSP Shogun. Props to Yushin for stepping in at the last minute. I don't know if this really tells us anything about Vince. I don't know how much closer to the belt it moves him, but it was interesting to see now the fifth Von Flew choke ever in the UFC, three of which have now been by OSP. It needs to be called the Von Prue choke from now on. Pat, what did you think of the display OSP put on there? Von Prue.
The Von Prue choke. I like that. That is very, very good. You know, I was really wondering what would have happened in this fight, if Yushin Okami didn't shoot in for one of the worst looking takedowns, like immediately. I don't think he even threw a punch in that fight. I didn't get a chance to pull up the I don't even know who ranks it, if CompuStrike is still doing that or these days, or Fight Metric, or who it may be. But I don't even recall him throwing any kind of strike. I remember him going in for this takedown. This is probably how Yushin kind of remembers it too. Just kind of going in for some weak, half-hearted takedown from like a mile away. And St. Preux, being, you know, the larger man that he is, was just able to just kind of roll him over and get that Von Fluch choke synced in. I mean, it was the one of the quickest, most anticlimactic main events that I can recall. It was like Yushin Okami just jumped in and said, "Here, choke me out." I mean, I don't know. That's how easy that OSP made it look. I mean, really, I thought super bad strategy on the part of Okami and his team. I mean, I don't know. You have to set up the takedown in some form anyways. He didn't even throw hardly any kind of strikes to my recollection that would, you know, get him guessing or, you know, it was just terrible game plan, terrible performance. OSP did everything to capitalize on it. I mean, the post-fight crew certainly, and the commentary crew definitely had cause to bag on Okami for that performance, I think. I mean, in the main event, in Saitama Super Arena, you know, just getting called back to the UFC, what was that? I thought he could potentially stand and hang with OSP. I feel like Okami has at least a little bit more solid fundamentals on the feet. You know, I would think he would have started there, but that's how the main event went down. At least from my estimation.
Yeah, and if Ramses were here, you know he would be calling the fight a work, because the fight did look exactly as you describe it. I never would accuse a fighter of quitting, because that's a really personal thing, and I would never have the balls to step in a cage. I try to avoid that. So I'm not going to say Yushin Okami quit, but I'm going to say there are instances where there has happened. And if there's any fight where it just looked like a guy gave up, I mean, maybe OSP, maybe he just felt how strong he was and was just like, I don't know if I have a chance in this one. Not saying that's for sure what happened, but I don't think you can debate the fact that that's what it looked like. It was not a good look, but can you really blame him that much? Cause he took the fight on like fucking 20 minutes notice. He's not even, this is his first fight at 205 his whole life. I think the guy was fighting at welterweight recently. I don't blame him. He kind of saved the card a little bit, I guess. It was not a very good look. Let's move on to Bellator, where we saw a few fun fights. You were right on some. I was right on some. The main four fights that we talked about were Aaron Pico coming back, very Gokhan Saki-esque, the way he lost his first MMA fight, got redemption via KO. Now 1-1, Aaron Pico moving down to 45, looks very good at featherweight, landed a punch that just dropped Justin Lin cold about halfway into the first round. Roy Nelson getting a boring unanimous decision against Javi Alaya, who actually had rattled off a couple impressive wins. Paul Daly, who was actually getting muscled himself around, or getting muscled around himself by Lorenz Larkin. Lorenz throws a knee. They disconnect. Paul Daly turns around and starts spamming the left hook. One of them lands, and that's the end of it in the second round. Paul Daly wins via left hook. That's the one I got. The one you got was Pitbull over Bindo. It was a close fight. I wish it would have been five rounds. I wish Bellator did what the UFC did and made all their main events five-round fights, regardless of whether there's a belt on the line. But this was only three rounds. rounds one and three were close. The second round obviously went to Pitbull. I could see any scorecards going from 30-27 Pitbull to, I actually saw a lot of 29-28 Bendos. But I think Pitbull was the right call here, and the judges got the split decision correct, taking Pitbull over Bendo in the main event at Bellator 183 in San Jose. Pat, what did you think of the card?
Well, I thought that the fights that we had discussed, or the ones that we had made our predictions for, three out of four were very good. As you mentioned, the Roy Nelson versus Javi Ayala fight, kind of a snoozer for me. I feel like if a heavyweight fight goes the distance, it probably is going to be a snoozer. They're probably just going to be sweaty, breathing on each other. I mean, I wouldn't say it was exactly like that, but not the most, you know. It's the heavyweights, man. You want to see a finish out of the heavyweights. It's you would think, logic would stand, that you would be able to get some finishes out there. But, you know, and especially Roy Nelson, if he doesn't knock you out in the first round, it's going to be a snoozer. That's usually how it works out. That's what it was with his fight against Javi Ayala. Aaron Pico, definitely, he redeemed himself. I was wrong about that one. I picked him to lose to Justin Lin. Hey, that's what happens. You know, I'd never seen either of them fight, really. But I did see Aaron Pico drop Justin Lin very hard. That was a beautiful KO, as was Daly's over Lorenz. You know, my boy Lorenz, he was hanging in there tough. He was definitely, he was putting it on him. And then just Paul Daly, though, he's got that Semtex in his hands. And one of them things landed, and that was all it took. It was a critical connection there, and good showing for Paul Daly. Good victory for him. And good victory for my boy, Patrycki Ferre. Mr. Patrycki Pitbull, got to give him a shout-out. You know, it was a super, super close fight for sure. For me, I definitely feel like, I mean, I could see that 30-27 Pitbull. I could see that 29-28. And so much of it really comes down to the relativity of judging. I mean, the second round was all Benson Henderson. Or a good portion of it was just Benson Henderson pushing Patrycki into the cage. And it's one of those things where, okay, is he imposing his will? Or is it just, is he trying to get a takedown and failing because Patrycki Pitbull is actually imposing his will because he wants that fight to stay standing up? And he's not letting that fight go to the ground in spite of Benson Henderson's best efforts. So, I mean, it really comes down to, you know, how do you look at it? Is Benson winning because he's putting the pressure on? Or, you know, is Pitbull winning because he's stopping you from doing what you're trying to do? I mean, really, you would, I don't know. Anyways, definitely an exercise in judging there. That could be one for people to go over and, you know, really say, you know, what do you look for in a fight? I feel, you know, Patrycki, I think he got it. I think he handily got it. At least two and three. The first round was close, too. I mean, really, Benson wasn't landing a whole lot. Really, neither of these guys were landing a whole lot. But I feel like Patrycki definitely got the best. And you know, even to the second round, I want to say Patrycki was more successful ultimately with the takedown. He, to my recollection, had Benson down for longer than Benson ever had him down. So, really, I feel like by most areas of measure, it seemed to me like Pitbull had this fight won. So, I was, you know, plus that's my boy. So, I'm glad to see him get the W.
P-Money's boy coming home with the big dub. Like I said, not too much going on in the world of MMA news. We did have a lot of fight announcements, though, the last 24 hours. As far as just straight news goes, there wasn't too much scuttlebutt aside from aside from, you know, a lot of hype between Lee and Ferguson. Next week we will be previewing UFC 216, the lightweight, the interim lightweight belt and flyweight belt on the line there. What else happened? Everyone's chirping at each other. Bisping's chirping at everyone. Yeah, not really that much going down. But let's talk about these upcoming fights, which were announced a couple at UFC 218. And then we got some news about UFC 219. The UFC's trying to put on a big end-of-the-year card, December 30th, UFC 219. They always do a New Year's card. They always try and make it big. We heard a lot about maybe Conor getting put on this card, but now we're starting to hear that Conor might want to fight more early 2018, might want to fight on St. Patrick's Day. There is going to be St. Paddy's Day falls on a Saturday in 2018, so having Conor fight on a St. Paddy's Day card would be pretty huge. Maybe trying to plug the trilogy fight between him and Nate Diaz in. Another whisper I heard was maybe Cormier's next title defense will be against Volkan Ozdemir. He did a poll on his Twitter, and Ozdemir got the most votes. So he said, congrats, you know, we'll be getting in contact soon. I don't know if he has that much control over his next fight, but... apparently that is who Daniel wants. But let's get two things that are set in stone here. UFC 218, Overeem versus Francis Ganeau, and Henry Cejudo against Sergio Pettis. What are your first reactions on this one? Overeem versus Ganeau is going to be pretty big in what seems like, you know, kind of a thin lightweight division. You have Francis Ganeau, who has been just bulldozing everyone, and Alistair Overeem, who recently got a title shot and lost, but I think that loss is like his only loss in his last five fights, so his stock is still plenty hot. That's going to be a big fight. And another big fight at flyweight. You would think this, you know, the winner of this fight is up there with the elite contenders, with Joseph Benavidez and everyone there at flyweight. It's going to be Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis. Cejudo, still young, has already had a title shot, looking to work his way back up. And Sergio Pettis, brother of Anthony, hasn't gotten a title shot yet, but is working at it and is starting to look like, he's still young. It's starting to look like he's finally starting to piece it all together there. Couple of fun fights. I'm leaning toward Ganeau and Cejudo, I think, but you never know, that could change between now and then. UFC 218, that card, I think, is going to be the Detroit card, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be December 2nd, Little Caesars Arena, Detroit, Michigan. I don't know who the headliner that will be, but there are a lot of whispers. I think Felice Herrig is supposed to fight there, and Angela Magana. Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje will either fight at this card or UFC 219. We got Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis, and Alistair Overeem and Francis Ganeau. What do you think about these two matchups, dog?
Oh, man. Well, as soon as I saw the announcements for these, first of all, that's an event I want to go to, mostly because it's at the Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah.
Say what you will, you know, Little Caesars, man, you know, $6, the cheesiest, bestest, whatever they're calling it these days. They're doing work. If you need a pie on a budget, hey, they're about as cheap as a DiGiorno, and they're already made for you. So what's up? Anyways, enough about my love of pizza, but Sergio Pettis versus Henry Cejudo, man, that's going to be a great scrap. Definitely two top-ranked 125-pounders. Jake, as you mentioned, Cejudo having already had the title shot, trying to get back there, and Pettis trying to get there for the first time. He's definitely, I mean, both still young, Pettis especially, still very young in his career, and he's certainly one of those fighters. He seems to have a very high ceiling. I mean, he's going up against an Olympic gold medalist wrestler and a guy who's no slouch with the hands either in Cejudo. So it's going to be a great fight. And, I mean, conversely, you know, Pettis, he's got a great striking skill set just like his brother. And, you know, he can hit you with all them 8 points. And he's got a good jiu-jitsu game as well. I'd say serviceable. Might be the one area, I don't know, I'm probably leaning Cejudo early as well, just the grappling credentials. But then Alistair Overeem versus Francis Ganeau, fantastic scrap. As soon as I seen that, I said, that's a great fight. I mean, Overeem, he needs to get back in the win column, so, you know, he's going to tumble down the ladder a little bit. But Ganeau getting his... getting a much needed step up in talent. I mean, he's just been running roughshod over everybody in the division, and this is just going to be a great, great test against a former champion in just about every division and combat sport he's ever fought in. So, very excited for both of these.
And like I mentioned, that UFC 219 card that'll be for New Year's, that one's finally starting to shape up. We got some announced fights. Lewis Smolka versus Matheus Nicolau at flyweight. Carla Esparza versus Cindy Calvillo at, I guess, women's strawweight. And the one I want to ask you about, Dominic Cruz against Jimmy Rivera. And, man, I don't know which way to fall on this because Jimmy looks, I mean, looks like a goddamn animal. I mean, he has looked just about unstoppable, hasn't lost to anyone, beat Uriah Faber, beat Thomas Almeida, and now has a big test against Dominic Cruz. And I think I'm going with Cruz here. Cruz has just proven himself not just to be a great at bantamweight, but a potential all-time pound-for-pound great fighter. Just the career he has had, his footwork, his skill. I mean, he's one of the best commentators that the game has now, just because he's so wise and so intelligent about everything going on. And, man, as much as I think that Jimmy Rivera is the future of that division, the guy's only 28, he and Cody are gonna have some amazing wars, I think, over the years as they both get better. And I think if this fight goes down in like a year or two, I give it to Rivera. But right now, I think Cruz is still the better fighter, and I give it to Dom. Which way are you leaning? My mind might change by the time New Year's rolls around, but I think for right now, I'm going with Dom Cruz.
Man, this is... I really feel like I'm kind of leaning the same way. I mean, I want to lean towards Dominic Cruz, but, I mean, his last fight with Garbrandt, I did not expect Garbrandt to come out looking as good as he did against Cruz. Now, I don't know if Jimmy Rivera has quite the same movement, but, I mean, the Terra, Jimmy Rivera, he has been... he's just been fantastic throughout his UFC tenure so far. He has just beaten everybody and really not had too much adversity in his fights to my recollection. He seems to, a fight is a fight, but still, he seems to go in there and just be a masterful tactician in there. I mean, really reminds me a lot of Frankie Edgar if he were at 135 pounds. Gee whiz, this is a tough fight to call. I mean, initially I'm leaning Dominic Cruz. He's got the range, and he's one of the best at 135 pounds that we've ever seen. We would be saying absolutely hands down the best if he hadn't lost to Cody Garbrandt just some months ago. But be that as it may, he's still one of the best who have ever fought at 135 pounds. So I'm siding with him early, but like you, Jake, I mean, this fight's a couple months away, and as I look at the tape more and more, I mean, Rivera is a guy that does not seem to have a lot of holes in his game. This is going to be a great scrap for sure, however it shakes out. That's But I'm definitely leaning towards Cruz for the moment.
And we're only half an hour in, but I said it'd be a short show. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of any more fine announcements. We went down last weekend. There's nothing going on this weekend unless you're a football fan or a baseball fan. I guess playoffs start up next week. Pat's Dodgers looking for a title over there. Looked good all season. But yeah, as far as MMA goes, I think that's about it. Pat, you got anything for the people before we log off?
Well, if the people are fans of smaller known Russian promotions and things of that nature, you can delve very deep. May not be really any names, but there's maybe a couple things going on. But we, if you look all over the country, there's probably 10 small local MMA shows going on all around the world, but we just, we don't have time. We want to give you the meat and potatoes. We want to give you the good stories. You know, there's always local up and coming fights if you want to check.
Oh
those
yeah,
out.
For sure.
As far as the main
support your local MMA. I mean, we talked last week about how awesome Cage Warriors 83 was. Sadly, I don't even think Cage Warriors is doing a card. Like there's no fighters really or events of note other than your classic every weekend. You know, you'll have a dozen cards scattered across the world. And if you're in Florida or Oregon or New York or the middle of the country, wherever you are, there are small orgs all over the place. So definitely go out and support your local MMA.
No doubt. Got to do it. Gotta also stay healthy and keep that nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, as always, stay healthy, keep your nose to the grindstone. We love you, and we'll see you next week. It'll be fun breaking down UFC 216, some other items of note. Till then, we gone.